make each great what long was proved.
Mercy and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Perhaps it is a sign of the season or the culture, but this past Monday, I turned on Green Bay's Christmas radio station at 7:30 in the morning, and for the next 30 minutes, this was their playlist. So This Is Christmas. The Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. I love that song. Grown Up Christmas Wish, Jingle Bells, Let It Snow, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Jingle Bell Rock, Santa Baby, and Run, Run, Rudolph by the Beach Boys. Okay. Anybody missing anything?
Yes.
We live in a world surrounded by noise. In many households, the day begins with the buzz of an alarm clock, and then the alarm gets turned off, and the television gets turned on. And kids get ready for school, and adults get ready for work, and there is a continuum of reminders and noises. There's the sound of water running in the shower, rattling dishes and silverware, and the dog barks whenever someone drives by the house. And then there's the radio on your way to work, music in the elevator and in your doctor's office. And sometimes the music is so loud in the car next to us that we can hear the thumping at stoplights, even with our windows rolled up. Even joggers and walkers nowadays often have earbuds so that they can listen to their favorite music or whatever podcast happens to be trending. Whatever happened to a quiet walk in the woods? It's almost as though we are afraid of silence. Or if we weren't turned into our music or our friends or the latest news story, we think something would be missing. We seem to like to fill our lives with noise. And Decembers can be the worst of all. After all, add to the normal routines all of your holiday preparations, all of your shopping, all of this Christmas music, and you have a recipe for noise that easily can lead you to be distracted. And there's the problem, because it's so easy to be distracted. Listening to the noise, we can lose track of what is really important. With all of the noise out there, it's very easy to miss God's call to listen. In the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, the great prophet, fresh off his battle with the Baal prophets, is exhausted and he goes out into the wilderness where God invites him to go up on the mountain and wait for the presence of the Lord. Scripture records that there was a great and powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. But after the fire came a still, small voice. And in that voice was the voice of God. God appeared to Elijah not in might or power or in majesty, but in a still, small voice. Could there be a better appearance of the Lord in human form than that upon whom we wait in this Advent season? God, coming not in majesty or power, but in a still, small. Cry of a poor child wrapped in rags, lying in a manger. The child grows up, and some 33 years later, Elijah appears on another mountain, this time the mountain of Transfiguration with Jesus and with Moses. The three of them are gathering there, talking about all that Jesus will do to rescue his people. And Peter and James and John hear the voice of God. It says, "This is my son. Listen to him." Luke chapter 7 records that John the Baptist at one time was concerned about whether his ministry was valid. Was he really pointing to the one who was the Lamb of God? The one who would take away the sins of the world. And so he sends his disciples, two of them, to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? Has my ministry been in vain?" And Jesus sends those disciples back, and he says, "Tell John what you have seen and heard." Now, Jesus has just healed a number of people of all different kinds of diseases. Presumably, those miracles would be enough to confirm John's concerns. But Jesus also says, "Tell them what you have heard." And from the context, what they have heard is the gospel message proclaimed to the poor. They are called to listen to what Jesus has to say and to report that message back to John. And that's God's call for all of us today, isn't it? To listen to Jesus. We're in great danger if we allow all of the noise of this world to distract us. We easily can miss the voice. We can miss the message. And that's why in this Advent season, we're called to stop and to look and to listen. Consider how many different ways messages can be shared in today's world. There's television and radio and graphics and email and billboards and PowerPoint and even singing telegrams and carrier pigeons. But when God wanted to send a message to the world, he didn't send an avalanche of confusing noise and conflicting messages. He sent his son. And the son did not simply speak God's love. He lived God's love. He was God's love for us in the flesh. John's gospel begins with a description of Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then John gives us his version of the Christmas story. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In his paraphrase of John chapter 1, Eugene Peterson translates it this way: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." The Word, Jesus, moved into our neighborhood. He took upon himself our flesh and blood. He lived with people a lot like you and me. People with problems, people who are tired and distracted, people who are slow to listen, and often a bit confused about life and about God. He moved into our neighborhood. He walked and he talked and he taught people like us. And he carried our sins to the cross. And he suffered and died and rose again so that you and I could have eternal and abundant life. And that's the message of Christmas that we will celebrate this year. And that's why Advent is so important, because we prepare to celebrate that good news. And that's why we stop and we look and we listen, so that we can hear and appreciate again the wonderful message of salvation that God gives to us in his holy word. Also on Monday, I ran across this quote by the Old Testament or the New Testament Father Jerome. Now, Jerome lived in about 400 AD, and Jerome was one of the foremost theologians of the early church. As a matter of fact, he's the guy who translated the Bible from and the Old and New Testament from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, which in that day was the language of the people. Jerome's translation of the Bible became more or less the gold standard for about 1,000 years in the church. Here's what Jerome says about Scripture. He says, "I beg you, my brother, to live among these books of Scripture, to meditate upon them, to know nothing else, to seek nothing else. Does not such a life seem to you a foretaste of heaven here on earth? Let not the simplicity of Scripture or the poorness of its vocabulary offend you, for these are due either to the faults of translators," perhaps here Jerome was thinking of himself, "or else to God's deliberate purpose, for in this way Scripture is better fitted for the instruction of an ordinary congregation. An educated person can take one meaning and the uneducated another from one of the same sentence. I am not so dull or so bold as to profess that I myself know it, or that I can pluck upon the earth the fruit of which has its root in heaven. But I confess that I am hungry to do so. I put myself before another reader of the Scriptures, and while I lay no claim to be a master, I readily pledge myself to be a fellow student. Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks shall find, and to him that knocks it shall be open." There he's quoting Jesus in Matthew's gospel. "Let us learn upon earth that knowledge which will continue with us in heaven." Jerome is encouraging his hearers, and he's encouraging us to hold Scripture as that foretaste of heaven. For what it reveals to us will be known in all of its fullness when we spend eternity with Christ. So this year, at Christmas, let's again reflect upon the gift of God's Word. Let us appreciate and treasure the blessings that God gives to us. Let's read and mark and learn and take to heart God's holy Word. Let's order our lives around it. And in the midst of the noise and confusion, we look forward with anticipation to celebrating the love of God in the person of Jesus. It is as if God stands behind the manger of Bethlehem and says to us, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." The peace of our Lord, which far surpasses our human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds and your lives in faith in Christ Jesus. Let us now worship our Lord and our Savior through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.